The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Where have you been? We've been waiting behind that screen for ages. Come on, what have you been doing? No, I blame Peeped.
Why? No, it's not my fault.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. Hi. Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hi.
Steve, Pete. Hi. Paddy, right, even though you hear his voice there, he's not here. He's got the new COVID variant. That's the trouble.
Ah, okay.
And it's deadly. He's dead.
Okay.
We found out now. That's okay. All the data you need. Mm. Paddy is he's gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know where
this
he
is what he would have wanted us to carry on, regardless. Yeah.
There is a chance he might pop on, but we've had
what, from the afterlife?
Yeah. So but we are having a few
we're streaming
issues.
Live from heaven or hell. Paddy may pop in on audio stream, but trouble is, we're in my sort of summer house, the back of the garden. And what's this bitrate, Steve, here?
0.3
yes.
meg.
Mm-mm. Giga speed. See, levelling up.
I'm not sure if this was working, to be honest.
Okay, no,
yeah.
We don't have
a go. Yeah,
we've got some chat going on, so yeah.
Yes, well, listen, by all means, use the chat function. There's lots of things going on, and we'll be talking about little games and stuff going on, but use the chat function if you want. Pete, anything interesting there so far?
Wow, you're more handsome than I imagined.
Thank you very much.
So, that's good.
Is that to who?
It's to me. Justin making us wait. With an E.
Hey,
I like
see,
that was good.
There's a sense of humour there.
Looks like Justin's having a senior moment, forgotten how to start the webcast. That's true.
I take full responsibility for that one.
Yeah. Markets are crashing. Run for your lives.
That'll be the theme. That's a topic. Yes. So, essentially, here are the topics. For the weekend podcast here. Guess the. Okay, so use a chat friend of that. We're doing that. A guess the thing. It's a theme there. We'll talk about, of course, coronavirus. It's called Omicron. That's what it's called. 2020 versus 2021 versus 2022. Twitter survey, risk reward, good tip. Final thought and final thought, all right? So guess the person, first of all. Just get the chat function, you know, motoring. Get it warmed up. Guess the person, right? It's going to be, obviously, Steve, Pete, me, or Paddy, all right? Those are the options. So who of us has skydived over Middle Earth? See, Middle Earth... I think it's part of the obviously I know this because I've been there.
Oh yeah, because you skydived.
I'm not a big fan of it. But right. Middle Earth is part of the goblin thing.
Lord of the Rings.
By the way, this is good news. First of all, straight up for escape and people. I tried to book early Tuesday. Tried to book an escape room for us in Basingstoke. Sold out. All of them. And Steve said, well, you're trying to book for the weekend. It's going to be sold out now. Yes.
It's leading up to Christmas. You need to book weeks in advance. Come on.
Oh, Josh, I said it's Tuesday, Steve. Yes, but there's Saturday. I said, yes. It's going to be sold out.
People tend to plan more than 1 week in advance when they're doing things like that.
It's sold out. So we're going to do a VR room. But even that, there's only three of us can go because apparently one of the headsets have gone down. They're going to fix that next week. But it's all booked out. So that's good news.
I think Paddy might be here. Paddy, are you there?
He's dead, Steve.
No.
Yeah.
When you're not getting that into your head, I know it's hard to accept.
Move on, Steve. Yeah.
He's got the COVID thing. Yeah. Steve, can you share my screen?
Hang on a minute. Sorry, Pad. Well, I'll come back to you. I'm going to try and work out why it's not
sorry,
working.
Caller. We'll come through in a bit.
Do you want full screen?
Yes, full screen.
Full screen.
Full
right, so hang on, which button do I press here? Is that that one?
Yeah.
There
ooh,
we go.
I say.
There we go.
Right. What's that, everyone?
I can't actually see what that is.
It's COVID.
It's COVID. Look at this. So this is the day, right? A top UK health official warned that vaccines would almost certainly be less effective against the new variant. Less effective. That means they are effective, all right, first and foremost. But Professor James Naismith, he's a naysayer, a structural biologist. Fancy having that as a term. At Oxford, it's bad news, but not doomsday. US infectious disease chief Dr. Anthony Fauci said it was possible that vaccines might still work to prevent some serious illness And there's growing evidence of this, but this was panic, wasn't it? The fact that the stock market, right, had a sale on Black Friday is lost on many. The stock market has sales very often, but it's led by emotion and fear. What are you talking about, boys?
Well, I'm saying I can't see that on my...
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that in delay?
Yes. That's how the internet works, Pete, don't worry.
For heaven's sake, you're distracting me. I can't see that. Are they showing him some kind of adult content?
Look at that, Steve. That's what I'm late.
Right, okay.
So look at that. Yesterday, this happens. This is a stock market. It has sale days. And yesterday they had a sale day. I guarantee you, right, there'll be data out saying, no, actually, it is quite effective against serious illness. It'd be a panic over. So essentially, it was led by panic, led by emotion. And that's what markets are. People, you can look at all of the valuation metrics you want, but it comes down to human behaviour, doesn't it? People start panicking. They start, like, I don't understand. Black Friday, you see people running into the shops. Stock market, people run away from the stock market, don't they?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Panic ruled yesterday. Fear is your friend. We know that now. If you want to buy good businesses at a discount, wait until there's a sell-off. They happen, you know, a couple of times a year. You know, wait until there's a sell-off and just take your pick. Go for it. I don't think we need a screen share anymore, Steve.
Okay, right. Okay, we'll press that one. There we go.
There we are. So, what were your thoughts yesterday, Steve? Did you honestly not know what was happening yesterday? Because Steve texted about in the afternoon and says, what's happening to the market?
Well, I genuinely thought it was a Black Friday sale on the market. So this is brilliant. Let's get some cash in there.
Did you have any cash there? That's the trouble.
Absolutely not, no.
There we are.
No, so then it didn't work for me at all. But I just didn't put two and two together, to be honest. Which is...
You're working into the delay.
What is two and two? No, I know the thing is, and it's actually it. I mean, if you look at the stock market over its entire history, you know, stocks, it generally goes up, you know, that way as well on your screen. But, and you'll have these little dips. And if you zoom in on a weekly basis, they look quite big. But you zoom out, they're not. So you realise these little dips are opportunities. They are drop opportunities, Peter, aren't they?
Yeah, nice.
There's 5 pence there for your trademark.
Like, ding.
And by the way, talking about 2020 and where we are right now, I think we need this. But well, this is a controversial thing. I think we need the sell-off.
Okay.
Do you know why?
No.
Steve?
Steve?
You all right?
Sorry, no, I'm just trying to work out why. I've got a funny feeling, and if anyone else can confirm this, I think Paddy might be able to hear Paddy. Can anyone hear Paddy? Paddy, say something. And I think we just can't actually hear him here.
That's fine.
Oh, God.
Someone let us know, anyway.
Okay. I heard someone say something
I've
then.
Been coughing and farting, if you have.
Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. Just taking a headphone. He is there.
Hello.
Yeah, he's there.
Why can I hear mine, not on yours?
Because you won't need the headphones on to hear him. Lads. That's how it works.
Oh, sorry.
My word. Hang on. How long did you work in radio for? He's not just going to appear from nowhere,
too
is
long.
He?
You're right, Pad. Oh, for heaven's sake,
but lads,
he's not
I've been eating my porridge. I've been eating... Like, there we are. Horrible noise from this end.
Yeah, I think
it's horrible noise from this end. Yeah. That's my voice. You get used to that, Pad.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, he's there. We can hear you, Pad.
I know, but yeah, cut him off.
Put your headphones on.
I can't. It's a really odd sound.
Anyway, back to the markets.
Yeah. 2020, right? And this is true. We are in extreme times right now. It's a pandemic year. Paddy keeps saying, you know, oh, 39 sell off. We are in extreme times. This happened, you know? And 2020, like I said, it was too easy. Way too easy. If you started investing after the dash for cash crash in 2020, you'd have thought, this is easy. This is so easy. There you are, sitting there on furlough money, you know, putting money in the stock market just goes up. This is so easy. You know, you could have picked a debt-laden, no-growth, dog-flea-ridden dog of a stock, right? And it would have doubled. Probably done more than that if you'd invested in April 2020. This is not normal. That is not normal. That's not how it works, all right? Now, to use an analogy, it's a good one, right? Patient and the vaccine. In March 2020, the market fell ill. Stop reading that, because that's part of the thing.
Okay, right.
Good morning. just listen to my voice.
Okay.
And react to that. I'm not just reading. I'm just reading what I've written down.
I think Pete's just watching the stream 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So, listen.
Paddy's just joined.
In March 2020, right, it fell ill. The market fell ill, right? And basically, a heart attack collapsed. The fastest, biggest sell-off in history. So, if you understand that, the biggest, fastest sell-off in history. That is, you know, unprecedented. You know, that fastest sell-off. It was rushed to ICU, the market. On the trolley. All the doctors around, nurses, all that, surgeons. Panicking again. The market's collapsed, it's dead, right? Well, that's in surgery there.
Mm.
They just pumped it full of steroids. This is central bank money.
Right,
central bank money. Then furlough money come in. And then it was given a defibrillator. And the market, follow the imagination there, being brought round, right, by steroids.
Yeah.
Everything in the market, right? All of a sudden, the patient is not only out of bed, but it's run up and down the hospital like this. I feel excellent. And then, hang on, he was just half dead. Then every month the patient comes back in, pumping full of steroids again, and he's running like a maniac. Was the patient better? Not particularly. Was the patient acting normal? No. You know, he was acting fitter than he was before he went ill. So it doesn't make any sense. Central bank money, furlough money, steroids pulsing through the market, the arteries of the market, really pumping it up. And so that's why from April 2020 to Q1, pretty much, of 2021, it just went nuts. Just rallied. And of course, once you get a market rallying, the money starts coming in. You know, buying begets buying, like selling begets selling, you know, so people are just attracted to a rising market, that's it. And it wasn't coming down. I sat there, remember, I had some cash, and I did, it went all the way down quickly, and I think I topped up on a fund or something, but I didn't buy anything else, I was too scared. And I realised it was starting going up, so it'll come back down, because we're going into a pandemic year. It's going to come back down. It didn't come back down, it started rallying. So what you do, you've got to join in, you know? So the patient not only showed signs of needing to sit up, it was going back and forth the hospital, sprinting back and forth the hospital. I don't need public transport. It was so fit. The market was on steroids last year. So anyone could have made money, you know? So I got a bit of food on the thing that was getting excited.
Very excited, yeah. There, aren't you? Well,
yeah. But you see that? It was not a normal year. And you had all these people sitting on the sofas on these new apps as well, Robin Hood apps, all this stuff, just putting money into the market, plus central bank money going into the market. It was literally, you know, flushing through like steroids through your arteries, you know, going nuts. 2021 come along. Parts of the patient, of course, if you pump full of steroids every day, you know, or every month, sooner or later it's going to take a bit of effect on your body. It's not going to start working or functioning as much. Plus, as you get, you know, the higher the market goes, the more risk there is, right? So people start going back to work as well. Money started coming out. So the furlough money flooding in wasn't flooding in anymore. And you obviously get illiquidity in different parts of the market. You know, there are certain areas where it'll stay liquid. So stocks started falling. The new investors are starting saying, hang on, this is not working anymore. It's not going up anymore. And I'm starting to lose money. This isn't easy. I'm going to pull my money out or try something else. And what happens in extreme times, right? You look for extreme situations. Meme stocks, crypto, Elon Musk space, Tesla, all that stuff. And there's some people that say, oh, look at these dog coins. These dog coins are doing 1,000% a day, apparently. I'll put money in there. Crypto is not investing. Largely, it's not. Of course, you know, the big coins, like the Bitcoin, Ethereum, all that, of course, they're valid, but still overvalued. But a lot of them, it's just nonsense. You know, it's gambling on cartoon tokens in an unregulated virtual casino. That's all it is. So I want to say, if you've been investing in 2021 and you found it very hard, you know, but you stayed invested because you've believed in your research and despite share price drops, because it's happened. I found it really hard this year, really hard. And if you can stomach sitting on a paper loss because you know the business you've invested in is worth more or it will be worth more, and despite, you know, feeling emotional and, you know, throughout the year, I think you've experienced in this year more in this than you will in 10 bull market runs, because you learn on a down year. You don't learn an up year. You get very complacent. It goes everywhere. And basically, you know, you are an investor, you know, and you've, I mean, this year, not you two maybe so much, but because you've got jobs, but I found it really hard, really hard. And I just think it's not a normal market. And but this is what it's about. Dips and drops like this is what happens, you know? So it will revert to mean, but this is not mean. We are in extreme situations.
Can I chip in with something that Craig on the chat has said, which I'm sure resonates with a lot of people watching this. Yesterday, I was starting to question myself, do I really know what I'm doing, looking at my portfolio, going down? And then this morning, I thought, last time I felt like this was the crash last year, and reminded myself a few months after, I was wishing I'd bought the dip.
Yeah, we always do that. Exactly. In hindsight, look at this now. If say a year on from now, right? And you'd had cash right now in this week, and you look back on this week, you'd have seen this was a buying opportunity. You know, you realize when you're in it and you're invested, it feels completely different. It's about the emotions of the market. Of course, when the market sells off, people start panicking, they start selling. That's why markets sell off faster and go further than they ever would. And the same with rallies. They go up further and faster because you chase, you know, chase the market. It's fear and greed.
But the problem is, and we were talking about last week, being fully invested. I don't have a lot of cash then to take advantage of this dip.
And I know, but
that's a problem.
Yeah, but it's a short-term blip, you know. And like I said, if you're looking at a business you're invested in, and you should be, if you're an investor, you should be looking at a business, you know, 1 to 3 year cycle, at least minimum 1 year, 3 years to get a good business going anyway, you know. So if you're looking at that, this was an opportunity to buy, but if you didn't have it, it doesn't matter. It'll rise in the end, you know. And remember, when the share price goes down, okay, this is very important. Now, it's annoying when you're invested, but it's very important. When the share price goes down on a company, the valuation becomes more attractive to other people. And this brings more money into the market. New money, new investors, okay? So when we've been talking, like, for example, you know, Escape Fund for, like, you know, 12 months, and people see the share price go up because side was going to, and it dipped down, people have been doing research, you know, and money, new money will come in, for example, and it'll jump back up, and there'll be new investors in there. So this is needed. This kind of flush of money in, out is needed sometimes. It kickstarts the market. And I think that's what 2021 needs, because it's literally, it's been a dog of a year for microcaps and small cap stocks, you know? So, yeah,
The only way to really take a full advantage, because you can't predict what's going to happen, like, go back to like May, I think my portfolio was all-time high, and obviously hindsight is a wonderful thing, but you couldn't pick and choose which ones to sell then, and then, you know, you'd be a very canny trader if you were able to do that. You'd literally have to sell your entire portfolio at the all-time high and wait for a crash like this to then get back in, wouldn't you?
I've tried to time the market before.
Yep.
You can be sitting there on cash forever. In fact, I did it in the last crash, but I started piling back in just before the last crash. So I thought, this is good. And that was based off the yield curve, you know? And there was warning signs on that, and lots of things happening. And I thought, this market, we're going into a recession here. And then all of a sudden, the coronavirus came around and it took a massive sell-off. I had a bit of cash then, but I wasn't, you know, there's no way you could predict that. Like I said, right now, there's no way you're predicting this Omicron would have come around and people start panicking.
I think it's Omicron.
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 Okay, yeah. It would have come around and that everyone would panic so much about it because there's 70 cases. And I think it's amazing how fast we're on top of this already, considering there's only 70 cases. There's none in the UK. There's none in the USA. And yet all the markets around the world sold off. Yeah. That is fear. It's not based on any sort of data or anything like that or scientific knowledge. It's fear.
Yeah.
Because all this thing is, they don't know yet. It's you know, it's likely that the vaccines will be effective to a certain extent. They don't know. I remember back when they started AstraZeneca, for example, that vaccine came out. There was saying it's around a 60% efficacy rates on it. Now it's way above that because they have more data on it. And they're saying now, actually, AstraZeneca vaccine is better than the mRNA vaccines because T cells last for longer. So it gives you immunity longer and protects you longer. So data changes the more you know. And I guarantee pretty much, you know, we will, at the moment, the unknown is the biggest fear. That is it. The more we know about this thing, you know, the less worry it'll be coming across the market, you know, the less worry it'll have to us. Because, you know, so, okay, so we know this. And the guy from Pfizer said, oh, we can reformulate our vaccine within 60 days. To effectively sort this out. So just yesterday's sell-off was just absolute based on fear and not fact. You know, that's opportunity.
Yep. The mindset has to change to like accept that coronavirus and COVID is here and we just live with it and we have to adapt and we have to accept it, don't we? So
I'm here to stay, man. You know what I'm saying?
And also I think there is a little bit of truth. Maybe it was a bit of a Black Friday sale.
That's what I'm saying. That was the first slide, Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for paying attention. He was too busy looking at adult content on his phone.
That's right.
But, that's what I'm saying. It's lost on many people. There are sales. Yeah. Now, the difference is, right, a stock market sale and a shop sale is shops, it's pre-planned, you know? We're going to have a Black Friday sale on Friday and we'll take 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% off things, you know? Stock market sales, they don't announce them, they're surprise. They open the doors, they surprise, we're a sale, it's a virus. So that's it, but it's a sale, you know?
But the frustrating thing is that it's a sale across the board on stocks that aren't necessarily even going to get impacted by a new variant, or some might even do okay out of it. That's the frustration. I mean, if you own airline stocks, then obviously they're going to take a hit. But it's just a frustrating part of the market, isn't it?
Yeah, everything's sold off. Certain things. If biotechnology didn't sell off, didn't touch it.
That was the only one in the portfolio.
But yesterday it was all red, and then I think someone bought a little bit of that, so it just went back up. But anyway, in summary to that, 2020 was too easy. It was falsely stimulated, silly market, everything went up. 2021, it was too hard. So money chased silly markets on crazy valuations like crypto, US tech stocks, EVs. 2022, I'm predicting, will be a stock picker's market where companies that have value and growth will do well. And the overhyped stuff, maybe not so well. So can you share my screen, Steve? I'll just put this on there. Is there a delay, like 4 minutes before my screen comes up?
Well, not for the people watching. It's instant.
Okay. <It's just waiting.
laughs> Yeah, that wouldn't make sense, would it?
Right, there you go.
Can I, while we're waiting, RH makes a point. He says, I always try and keep around 20% in cash for opportunities or drop opportunities.
That's technically impossible, though.
He used 5% of it yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if that's 5% of the 20%.
Because does that mean then he sells something else to bring out?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So how do you always keep it at 20%? Because when you don't buy anything, no, I know what you mean. It's always good to have a bit of cash. To have a bit of cash. I think the silly stuff will collapse. I genuinely do. The silly stuff, the extreme stuff. We've been in extreme situations at the moment. I said we are extreme times. Extreme things happen. You know. Look at this crypto. Now listen. Before I'm not crypto bashing generally. The technology, of course, blockchain and other things coming off that are very, very useful and going to be with us forever. And they're going to be used in industry. But you've got to look into the market. This is a bubble. It's an absolute bubble when you've got stuff like dog coins. Look at this. Top 20 tokens are valued above 10 billion. 10 billion. That's bigger than the FTSE 100, pretty much. Or some of the companies in the FTSE 100 that have chucking out cash loads of money every day, profits, right? Even the top 100 tokens are above 1 billion. So these really cartoon meme coins, this is a bubble. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I say this, it's not Bitcoin or Ethereum that are the worry. It's has some value, because they have value. It's these coins. Shit coins. So what's happening? They are multiplying pretty much on a daily basis. And I'll show you an example of this. They're multiplying on a daily basis, sucking money out of the bigger, more valid cryptos. So look at this. This is a sad thing, isn't it? Mr. Gox, a cryptocurrency trading hamster, dies. Ah. He died yesterday. Very sad, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Do you understand what this is symptomatic of the crypto market there? How mad it's become, how extreme it's become. So look, he outperformed the S&P. Wow. Now, the S&P has performed very well.
Yeah.
But a hamster trading crypto has outperformed it. Doesn't that tell you where the crypto market is?
Mm. Become a hamster.
Or, yeah, hamsters are good at it.
Yeah, but he's dead. Ah. Probably from stress. probably from volatility.
Right.
This is his thing there. Buy, sell.
I like that.
So he jumps on that. Nice. Buy, sell. He's dead. So they've actually put on what he's going to buy, what he's going to sell. right?
Yeah.
Look at this. This was yesterday, right? These are the coins that have fallen. Cheems Inu, it's an iteration of an iteration of an iteration of Dogecoin, of course. Yeah. That was down 99% yesterday. Wow. Zum token down 81%. Black Friday Dodge, that wasn't the biggest fall, that wasn't the biggest bargain yesterday. Black Friday Dodge, a coin created. How can a coin be created for Black Friday?
Yeah.
How fast can you turn around these projects? Doesn't this show is a complete farce?
Mm.
There's Turkey Inu there for good for
Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving, yeah. Down 74%. Sheep game. There's Ghost Bar Sheep Game.
Oh,
there's Black Sheep Shiba Inu. So the Dogecoin, then Shiba Inu. It's just, look at the falls there. Cheems basically has gone bust. 99%, that's gone bust, okay? 81% pretty much close to bust. These are going close to bust on a day yesterday.
Do you know what annoys me about crypto is, I know there's a lot of money to be made, but there's also... Basically, people who are making loads of money are taking it for people.
These are scams.
They're literally scams. They're taking it from people who actually probably don't have the money to lose.
So you can say, right? Yeah, but these are not the proper projects that I'm talking about. No, I know they're not. But this is what I believe is going to happen, okay?
How does a crypto go bust? And a 100% drop doesn't mean it goes bust, because it's just a 100% change in, so it's halved its value.
You're under 99%, but where are people investing at that level?
Yeah.
So what happens when it goes bust then? Do the people making it just take all their money out of it?
Well, I don't understand what happens. Exactly. How do you create them? It's a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme.
I don't understand.
I'm not talking about the proper coins. People are jumping on the coattails of the proper crypto projects, and literally it's a scam. Each time one of these disappears, so does liquidity and trust in that market, of course. And of course, first of all, because they're dividing, people are chasing the next 1,000%er, you know? And generally, these are tiny little things, very high risk, it's gambling, full stop. So they're chasing these ones, what's the next 10,000%er? So this is what happens, right? This is what happens. Bitcoin, look at that, Pete, it's right at the top there, right? It's a house of cards, okay? Bitcoin is valid, Ethereum's valid, you know? But the Cheem Inus, the Black Friday Dodge, the Turkey Inus, all that stuff, they're not. They'll start collapsing, taking liquidity out of the market. This will be the dot-com bubble. The crap will collapse, suck a lot of liquidity out. The valuations on everything will go down, but the remaining lot will be valid projects going forward. It's like the dot-com bubble where Amazon nearly went bust. But if you picked up Amazon just after the dot-com bubble, you'd have been a billionaire by now if you put a decent chunk in, you know? So that's what needs to happen to the market, I think, the crypto market, for it to get any way, you know, sort of sensible, to have any forward progression. Because at the moment, the valuations are absolutely berserk on companies that are worth billions. People say it's different, though. These are like coin systems. But it's still not generating any money, any revenue. And if you've seen Michael Berry, the Big Short, have you seen the film?
Yes.
The Big Short? He's now talking about this as the mother of all bubbles,
right.
The crypto bubble. He's saying it's worse than .com bubble because there's so much intertwined now,
yeah.
So much cash going. He thinks it's going, and it'll probably take the market down as well because there's so many you know, big investors now, yeah. In crypto, and all of. I'm not saying the big ones will collapse, but they'll all come down like the house of cards there. So be aware. I'm just saying. Don't stop trading crypto because you can make some money in it. Of course you can, but you've got to trade it a lot of time. Not so much Bitcoin, that because we expected to wake up one day and see that the market has collapsed because a lot of them gone through, a platform's gone through, an exchange gone through, and that has a domino effect like the house of cards. That I think was going to happen. You can't see these values. It doesn't make any sense. Look at the dog coins and all that. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's insane.
David on chat says, institutional crypto will clearly get regulated, but will retail crypto come under the same regulation as the CFD/... spread bet providers? Is this what, same heavy margin requirements?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, some of them say they welcome it should be regulation because, of course, people, yeah, get ripped off left, right, and center. There's lots of, most of those coins are just cons. You know, if you put your money into them, you can't get money out of them. That happens a lot, you know. What was that one the other day? That happened. Someone just created a coin, they quite a, you know, trendy sort of theme or meme to it, you know, and they put your money in, you couldn't get your money out, and that was it. And it happens all the time. So something's got to be done. It's, and I guarantee, if you look at most of these places, I'm not going to be a, you know, sort of prejudice in any way, but most of them are very good hackers, yeah, setting these things up in Eastern Europe somewhere, you know, just setting them up.
Yeah,
inflow of money, just pulling the, you know, pulling the rug for money if you.
If people haven't watched or listened to, rather, the Crypto Queen podcast,
yeah, yeah,
on BBC Sounds, that's definitely worth listening to. That's a complete farce.
Yeah, I'm surprised regulators are so slow on this.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the biggest scams around. I'm not talking about the proper, you know, projects. I'm talking about all these scam coins, you know?
Yeah. Paddy's actually joined the chat now. He says, I don't know if I can talk, so I'm going to go downstairs and enjoy this as a viewer while I fit my new blinds. So yeah.
Maybe, okay, we go to him at the end, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, the internet's really bad. So
okay. He also says the picture-in-picture is nice, Steve. So
oh, no, thank you.
He likes that. A bit of technical chat.
Justin's fleece/seat combo makes it look like he's a floating head.
Well, no change from the normal podcast on the video, yeah, then, isn't it? Yeah.
Someone else also said Justin seems to have a lot of knowledge of steroids. That's true.
Final steroids should have been bigger, yeah, than this, surely.
And
surely.
Someone in the chat said Justin is very excitable at this time in the morning. Which, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, this, yeah, is, you know, it's my passion. I love talking about this.
I can see the spit on the microphone, so yeah.
You can,
yeah,
have that, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Talking about valuations, right? Also insane. This will affect the market. It's also intertwined. Share the screen, Steve.
That's slick.
Have a guess how much each car Tesla sells costs in relation to the market cap. So if you divide by the number of cars they sell by the market cap, how much is per car? How much would it cost per car? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand the question?
No, say again.
So the market cap of Tesla is above $1 trillion, pretty much, right? So if you divided the cars they sell, mm-hmm, by that, if you divide the market cap, yeah, by the cars they sell,
yeah,
how much roughly is it per car?
I have no idea the sales figures. Okay.
Well, just give us a figure. Just give us a figure.
Okay.
But they sell about, I think, what? 500,000 cars,
oh, okay,
a year.
Is that not just the value, mm, of the cars?
Well, no, it should be kind of some kind of reasonable metric there you can compare, you know, because I think something like...
So would it be less or more than the value of a car?
Well, exactly. What do you think? Well, have a guess. Don't be scared. I'm not going to chop your legs off if you get it wrong, you know.
Okay.
There's no big...
Well, yeah, it's going to be something like 20,000 or something, isn't it?
20,000, yeah.
30,000?
I'm going to go... Yeah, 30.
Higher.
40.
Higher.
50.
Higher.
70.
Big higher.
100.
Higher.
Wow. 150.
Higher.
200.
Higher.
250.
Higher.
300.
Higher.
500,000.
Higher.
What?
A million.
Look at this screen. Investors are valuing each car that Tesla built last year at more than $1.4 million. That's the valuation. Look at GM. Wow. Okay. 8K per car. Ford, 6K, this is £1,000, 6K per car. Toyota, 20K per car. Volkswagen, 9K per car. Tesla, $1.4 million per car.
Hang on a minute, so how does that work out then compared to all the other car companies? How
I just told you that, look.
What?
8K for GM.
Yeah, no, but how, why is, why?
But exactly why?
What's the reason? Is it just because it's blown
out? It's a bubble.
Right, okay.
Mm. It's insane. You were trying to, I know people say, no, but Tesla's the future of everything. This is going to control all our lives in the future.
Well, but
at the moment, they are quite clever batteries and, you know, technology. And I understand battery storages and powering your house to your car and all that stuff. But they're basically valuing every perceivable, you know, future aspect and development into the price of Tesla right now, I think. And can it go a lot higher? Probably. Bubbles can, you know, they can stretch. You know, you've seen people blowing those bubbles, they can go bigger and bigger, or a balloon before it actually pops, you know?
Yeah.
But
Rivian, was it?
Rivian is, again, that's one way for...
That's $100 million per vehicle, because they've sold
vehicle. So look at this. This is automated market caps, right? These are all those. Look, Toyota, Volkswagen, Daimler, GM, BMW, Honda, Stellantis, Ford. That's the market cap of Tesla. Stacks up against all of them, bigger than all those cars. And look at the next chart. Sales. So let's go back to valuation, sales. Yeah.
But so you would say that
is this normal?
That's a bubble.
Yeah, is that normal?
The Tesla bubble.
You can defend it all you want, but just looking at the valuations and sales don't make any sense.
No
sense whatsoever.
And the cars aren't even that good looking.
They're not that good looking, are they?
No. My issue with the indicators.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind one, but don't believe the hype. If you get caught into the hype and you join too late in the party, you can get burned, full stop. And that's why, listen, I talk about, with a share pickers investment club, there's two kinds of stocks pretty much. And that's stocks that rise on hope, hype, potential. If you're in those early, you can do very, very well because explosive at the start, but then it's pop and drop because sooner or later they have to come to the point where they have to justify their valuation. And when if they have no revenue or no earnings, it will drop. Sometimes it'll take a while to drop. You can stay up there for a while. But if you are in a company that has very little revenues valued at over 100 million, make that the benchmark in UK, I mean, over 100 million, has very little revenue, okay, but that valuation is based all on the future potential, you join the party too late, okay? You need to join the party below 20 million, not 100 million. I don't care what you think about it, the belief in it, it will come down. There are odd exceptions where it doesn't, but generally, don't believe the hype there. You're in too late. If you get in early enough, you can make a lot of money like that, you know? In fact, it's a couple of things. Vesarion was one. Asia Met was one as well with the copper thing, and the EV started there, and it was sub-10 million market cap. Vesarion was sub-10 million market cap. Also, the hype around the VR goggle glasses.
EVRH.
Yeah, the company. That was like sub-10 million, you know? So... yeah. Okay. Anyway, little game. Guess the person. Okay. Oh, did we have any guesses from the last one?
No.
Good. This is good. This feature's going well.
Yeah, it's a strong feature.
Who of us is a world record breaker?
All right.
Oh, yeah, that was that one.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking people in the chat.
Steve, it's me. Right.
Sorry, I wasn't concentrating earlier when you did that.
Twitter survey. Let's look at the survey. Okay, right. In regards to UK small caps over the next 12 months, are you feeling bullish or bearish? Steve, what are you feeling?
It changes every day at the moment.
You got two options there, Steve.
I know.
But this guy in the or.
I'm going to be the or.
I'm
going to say bearish.
You're bearish?
Yeah.
Pete?
I'm probably sort of leaning towards bearish a little bit.
That's good. Mm. That's good. The market's in a rally on bearishness.
Yeah.
This survey actually finished before the new Omnicrom. I'm Omnicrom. I'm part of the Autobots. What are they called? The Decepticons. Decepticons. That's that film, Transformers. Yeah, yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So that was before that. Anyway, bullish, bearish. I'm glad this probably flipped around a little bit now because when everyone's bearish, it's a good time. Pretty much everyone's sold when everyone's bearish. Or they're thinking of selling. That's it. So the markets are running.
Adam on the chat says about your Tesla stats. Comparing Tesla to Apple is probably a better comparison rather than comparing to the other automotives.
No, it's not. Why? I don't think it is because...
Tesla is a tech company.
But looking at the valuations there, if you, in fact, look it up. See, Pete, look up the revenue and the profit of Apple. I look at the revenue and profit of Amazon. That makes it sound even more ridiculous because Apple's one of the biggest. So I know what you mean. It's a tech company, yes. But you're saying that, but that's justification of the valuation, you know? So where's a tech company? So it should be valued like that? That value? It's like, that's a crazy valuation. Nuts. You know, it's like 1.4 million for each car. Okay, so what are you basing that on?
I think my fear with that is because you don't know which way it's going to go because it's just based on sentiment, isn't it? Based on hype. You don't know whether... is the market suddenly going to decide that is massively overvalued or is it going to go, oh no, it could go even higher.
But let's say you base it on a tech company. So let's say it should be worth 10 times more than GM. That's still only 100,000 or 80,000 per car. This is 1.4 million.
Yeah.
So that's nuts. So, you know, so let's say 100 times, you know, 800,000. It's still above that. It's worth hate, you know, it's nuts. I mean, you know, and people justify it, but I mean, anyway, risk reward, anything else on there? It's crazy. It's a bubble. That's what I'm saying, right? At the moment, I think 2022, what I'm trying to say here, the theme of 2022 will be a bit more sensible. We've gone through extreme situations where extreme actions are taken, you know, and I'm thinking there'll be a bit more sensibility here. What's the biggest risk, Steve, that you have when you invest in? For any stock, for example, if you've got a stock...
Well, it's right? actual individuals or just...
Individual stock. What's the biggest risk you reckon for a stock?
Well, hang on a minute. What's
the biggest worry? What's the biggest fear?
Okay. Well, it's...
Not breaking even.
I've kind of got a level, so obviously when they announce a fundraise, that's not a great thing. Well, when it's not a good fundraise.
Is that your biggest fear?
No. Like, obviously when Escape Hunt, that was a good fundraise, but you get bad fundraises, which I got stung on with Salt Lake Potash.
So hang on, what is the biggest fear about investing in a company? What's the worst going to happen?
Well, let's be honest, it's all happened to me, so what is the worst thing that's happened? Well, the company goes bust.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Will one of my investments go bust? That should be your worst fear, right? And why do companies go bust? Essentially, lack of cash. That's it. You know, generally, or they've done something illegal and they've been shut down. But generally, in the whole, lack of cash is why companies go bust. So as long as your investments have cash, especially small microcap stocks, you know, access to cash to cover their liabilities, the chance of them going bust are very small. That's why companies pretty much are listed, to get easier access to capital, you know, cash. So listed companies fail to get access to the capital, even when they're listed, because the business model isn't viable. How do you know if it isn't viable? That's the thing, isn't it? How do you know if a business model isn't viable? Because sometimes we see these stocks rising on hope, hype, potential. They sound cracking, like the VR thing. You know, VR boxes on your head, watch concerts. At the start, we don't do a deep dive into that. It sounds quite good. I remember you were quite sceptical, wasn't you, Steve, at the start? And I thought, no, hang on. If you can't join in a Justin Bieber concert because he's in America and you're in New Zealand, you could join him on your sofa. But then you realise it's not transit. So, you
know. And I think that's become definitely more apparent since lockdown, where people have realised actually being online actually isn't as good as being doing things in person and actual experiential things. So I think, and I was talking to someone about this, actually one of my clients who's a shopping centre, you know, they're having a decline, footfall. And since lockdown, actually it's encouraged more businesses to go back into the retail thing because they've realised actually people want to go out and do shopping.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a knock on. So one of the good things that's actually probably come out of COVID.
Do you know what? You genuinely can't beat a good salesman, someone knows their stuff. When you go into a shop and you try to Google it and go, is that right? And you get conflicting reports and you've got to talk to someone in the shop who sells them all day and they'll tell you exactly, well, this is good for that, this is good for that. And literally, rather than searching around for half an hour to find out and go to reviews. Yeah. I know, it is. There is. So how do you find that the business model is viable? So how do you do it? So they have no revenue or revenue growth. Okay, so you may say it may have started before that, maybe an early start. So if you're buying companies on hope, high potential, make sure they're a low valuation because the business model may not be valid, you know, but doesn't mean it won't rise. You can have some cracking rises because when it's based on hope, high potential, there's no bigger sort of driving force behind a stock than literally fantasy of what it could be. You know, the blue sky potential. Or this stock could be, you know, a FTSE 100 company, you know, based on just what I think. And of course it could. You can go to bed at night thinking, this is amazing. But if they have no revenue or revenue growth, then it's, you know, there's no... It's not based on anything, is it? There's no one buying the product. There's no one buying the service. That validates the business. When someone are demanding the product or service and that's growing, then you understand, oh, in fact, this company is doing very well because people want that. They want it. They're buying it ever more every year. They're saying 20% this year, 40% next last. So if they don't have any revenue, be careful. If there's no profit insight, be careful. Their losses are growing, okay? So if your company has, like I said, cash, growth, line of sight to profitability and reducing losses, it's generally improving. So they're going to have cash. Growth, because that cash means they won't go bust. Growth means the demand for the product. Okay, a line of sight to profitability means essentially they're not just funding the sales out of marketing or whatever, or paying for that sales over the top. They're actually getting somewhere. The margins are getting better, and so the losses are reducing. So that is an improving, growing company.
But coming back to your Tesla thing, you could argue that people are pricing in the growth, aren't they? So they
it's all priced in.
Well, exactly. So when we're talking like $1.4 million, but you know that's currently, but it's like when they're selling 20 million vehicles, 50 million vehicles a year, or whatever.
Again, Steve said it, I don't really like the cars. Who's to say?
Well, yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to say now. Of course, they're ahead of the game on battery tech, but will it stay that way?
No, no.
Every major car manufacturer has an EV policy. Yeah. They're all going to EV.
And I genuinely believe that. I think as the other car manufacturers, the ones who have got better looking cars, start bringing up. In fact, they are kind of there, really.
Polestar look a really impressive EV company. They look really nice.
Yeah. Cars. So if you like a car, for example, exactly, and you like this BM, and you want an EV BM, I think it looks nicer than a sort of Tesla. I'll go for an EV. The Germans are very good engineers.
I think we're only years away before everyone else catches up, and they're at a similar level in the battery tech. The Teslas, I don't know. And
it's like Netscape. .com bubble, Netscape, we're well ahead of it. That was the search engine. People ploughed billions in it, millions in it, Netscape. All of a sudden, where's Netscape now?
David says Tesla's priced on owning the entire EV space, batteries, infrastructure, data, but the world will catch up.
Okay. Sorry, Steve, so let's see the screen there. So cash grows. So essentially, if you are looking at companies that are growing, you can have, why has it gone black? I can't see anything.
Is that you?
Oh, sorry.
Right.
So that's the thing. So there's a high probability of them not going bust if they have these qualities: cash, growth, line of sight, property, and losses. That's the biggest risk. So we got the biggest risk is removed. So that's it. If you're worrying right now about one of your investments, the share price has dropped. Just look at just research the company. Do they have cash? Right? Are they growing? Yeah, have they announced they're going to have profitability in the future somewhere? And are the losses reducing? If you've got those, don't worry. They will move with the market, yeah. And so the share price of your investment is going down, right? It isn't a risk, it's a fear. It isn't really a risk because the markets are volatile. So let's say this. The share price will go down, but at some point it won't go bust if it has that. So don't worry. The biggest worry of all is going bust. How low will it go? Depends on two factors, essentially. Current valuation and future potential. Right? So remember, the SP going down due to reasons not specific to the company improves the current valuation. So you can say, look at this, it's cheap as heck, this stock. That's good sell. I mean, you may not be holding it while the share price goes down, but it makes it more attractive. More money comes in, and it has future value. That's the market. So what is reasonable value? The share price of companies will drop less, okay, if they're reasonably valued compared to an overvalued company, because they take a massive hit. Because companies that are overvalued are basically valued on future potential, And if they don't hit these lofty targets they have, it can be very volatile.
Well, so Bio yesterday is a good example of that.
Bio, I suppose, is valued at one times 1.1 sales next year. That's literally, and less than 2 this year. So, and they've had 2 profit warnings, pretty much. So it's not going to go any lower, pretty much. All the bad news out there. So it's also likely to drop significantly if it has growth to achieve its potential. This is where reward comes in. Reward. Oh, look at that. Hope by potential. Do you know what? People often ask me, you made quite a bit of money on hope by potential stocks. Yeah. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying realize that if you're a company that's valued at 100 million or more and it's got no revenue and it's all based on the potential of it earning revenue, it's hype and hope. That's what it is. It'll pop and drop, probably, So be careful. If you're in a sub-20 million and it's got, a lot of hope pipe. When I say hope pipe, what I mean, it's in a very hot sector, and I get to that. The second way, 2 ways the companies rise, pretty much. Hope pipe potential, okay? Very fast explosive rises, but can pop and drop very quickly. And real value generation, sustainable growth. This is based on, revenue, profits, all that stuff. That's more sustainable. That will go up for years and years. Not saying it won't be volatile, but it won't be as volatile as a hope pipe potential stock. So the trick is to pick companies reasonably valued with good growth potential. They're protected then, both upside and downside. In short, hope, hypes and fears is their way of saying risk and fear, okay? GARP, have you ever heard of GARP? Steve, GARP, G-A-R-P. G-A-R-P.
No.
D-I-S-C-O. D-I-S-C-O.
Is that ringing any bells?
G-A-R-P-E. Yeah.
Is that the steroids?
No, you're on it. GARP, do you know what GARP is?
Yep, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, same here.
I'm not telling you then.
We could be here a while.
GARP is growth. It's a well-known investment trait. And people say, essentially, people break it down into value stocks or growth stocks. Warren Buffett, for example, they say he's a value investor, but he realizes you need a bit of growth. So, because the company isn't growing anywhere, is because the share price is not going to go up, because you invest for dividends as well, but you've got to have a bit of growth. So all companies are going to have a bit of growth. Now, you can go for companies that have all growth based on potential and their valuation is crazy, or you can have growth at a reasonable price. So growth is the capture and reward side of it, okay? And a reasonable price is the price of downside. So if it's valued well, like Biome, for example, it's not going to go down that far. So the reasonable value protects the bottom side. The top side is growth. Did anyone guess who that thing was? Who was a world record?
No. No one's responded to any of your trivia.
Okay.
I think it's almost like people are watching this for the stock chat and things about shares rather than who's got world
record. Interacting
stuff. No, they're interacting about stocks and shares.
Oh, okay, good.
Which is what this is about, isn't it?
Kind of better, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Not about who's heads.
I've gone one further than GARP.
Right, okay.
I've gone add it with a mega trend.
Right.
What's a mega trend? Like, not quiffs and stuff and flares.
Really popular fashionable.
I don't know what is trendy these days.
Steroids.
What's trendy steroids? What's trendy these days? Fashion wise,
fleece and chair combos.
Yes. A fleece and chair combo where heads
try and blend into your furniture.
Yeah, blending into your furniture. That's all the rage.
Yesterday I did a video of Paul Hill. Right, took my trends, and I literally had shorts and Crocs and a shirt on top. So I'm doing a video.
It's November.
Isn't that a rumour? Like newsreaders do that at the desk, there with nice shirt and tie on, and they've got their jogger bottoms on underneath.
I'd done half my exercise on the treadmill, and I hadn't finished it, so I go, I got upstairs, quick shave there, and I put a shirt on, literally had shorts, regular shorts, my Crocs.
That's what I'm like during the summer on Zoom calls now these days.
Is not a mega trend, you know, that kind of dressing up. That's good. That won't last decades, will it? Oh, it may do, but it's not a huge. Yeah. A lot of people do that. So name a mega trend. Any trends out there you think now?
Well, EV is the obvious one, isn't it?
EV, yes. Why is that a mega trend?
Because the shift from use of fossil fuels to power cars.
Yes.
Into electric.
Yes.
Mm.
There's no bigger trend than that, is there? Climate change trend.
Well, renewables, isn't it?
Renewable energy.
Like hydrogen.
That is the same thing.
Not necessarily.
Yes, why are we going to renewables for?
It's part of,
No, we're moving away from fossil fuels.
But not purely to do with EV, is it?
It's all that, isn't it? We're all moving away from fossil fuels.
There's mega trends within mega trends.
It's carbon, isn't it? It's a reduction of carbon. It's carbon in the atmosphere. Right, they're reducing that. So there's no bigger trend than that. So what I'm saying is, if you invest in a mega trend you know is going to be around for decades and is going to attract more money and then go for a growth stock, you know, growth at a reasonable value, you're basically, you know, protecting.
Gone black.
Why is that my screen or is that everyone else?
No, it's you.
It's you because you're in charge.
Do you want to see this? Hope, hype, potential versus sustainable. This is my strategy.
No.
Okay.
No, we're going to see anyway.
Okay, that's four columns. In the column one is all the filters. Yeah. Can you read that?
It's too far away from the screen.
Right. I can see if I'm allowed to look at Justin's screen.
Do you see that there, right? Now, these are necessary, these ones here.
Steve, that's the first time I've seen that schedule thing.
remove the last one because I just put a chart. Don't worry about the chart, right? Then remove that one, right? Then just stick with that first column, right? That there is hope pipe potential.
Right, yeah.
That is all it's about. So it's below 20 million, long-term trend, simple and scalable, yeah? So you've got that, hope pipe potential. You add that extra layer on, profit, date, growth, shareholders, and that's all sustainable growth. In fact, you don't need to look at the shareholders too much. You probably need a USP of some kind, a patent, but cash to profitability and profit growth is good. So I look at revenue growth, for example. Is it 20% year on year? You know then you've got growth. Is it above 20%? Top line, pretty much. Is its enterprise value within 3 times or less revenue? What's enterprise value, Steve? Come on, fella.
Yeah, come on, Steve.
Sorry, I
wasn't. You like this then?
I was going to have a guess.
Mr. Gox!
I'm just going to ask the question again.
He's on a 4-minute delay.
What is the enterprise value, Steve? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm glad I haven't got the camera on live right now.
Okay. Steve.
20,000.
Put the camera on. Put the camera on.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's in charge of the camera.
This is Steve's. Put the camera on.
Come on, put it on, Steve. Come on.
God.
And speak to the camera. Tell everybody.
I asked Steve then, right? I said, Steve, what is enterprise value? What is it?
I didn't do that at all.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. He was like Mr. Cox the hamster.
Shut up. That's what I've got to put up with.
Right, okay.
Okay, enterprise value. What is it? What is it? What is it, Peter?
Is it Martin? Is it Martin?
Martin Kaplan.
Is it market cap minus the cash, add the debt?
Yes.
That's what I
yes. thought. Yes. So you get a real valuation of a company. So, for example, you know, like I say, take the cash off because cash is very liquid. What's the value? You're trying to find the value of the business. So the debt goes on because the cost of the business, of course, and then that's the EV. So look for EV, because enterprise value of a company, is it within 3x sales? So if the EV is like 10 million and they're within 30 million sales or less, that's within that, you know? And price to valuation, there we are. So combine these two there, you get everything. You get the reduced risk and capture decent reward. Oh, here we are. Another guest there.
Can we just go back on the previous one?
We have had a couple of people
saying Steve for the record breaker. Also, David reckons it could be Justin for speed talking.
Sorry, no, it's
which I agree. Yeah,
it's not me.
Okay, is it Steve?
It's not Steve.
Oh, and it's not me.
So it's Paddy.
Paddy's not even here.
Yeah, Paddy, when we worked at Capital Radio, he did, I think, the world record, Pad texted in, for keeping up the biggest beach ball in volleys. I think that's it.
He's actually got that as his status on Strava.
Has he?
Yeah.
The chat has just refreshed, and there's been two or three people that have actually said Paddy. What Atom Shop said... Paddy is the record breaker. Paddy, how long he can go without wearing a T-shirt on the podcast. And another one, record breakers, Paddy, for Tory bashing.
Paddy, everything that comes out in news, Paddy spins it to a political angle of bashing the Tories, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So they all got it right. Well done.
Okay, look at this one. Put this on, Steve. This is good. I saw this the other day. This is good. Gaster, right? Stock. Ready? This is a trading update from the stock. Look at the figures there. 39-week period, it's got underlying revenue, underlying operating profit, number of deaths. That's a trading update of a stock I looked at this week that someone in the Share Pickers Investment Club said, should I hold on to this stock or should I sell it because it's grinding lower?
Number of deaths on the balance sheet there.
They've got number of deaths.
Hang on.
That's not employees.
Right. I was just about to say, is that staff?
Is that staff, yeah. We pride ourselves on having a very unhealthy working environment.
Yeah.
But saying
to be fair, there's a 3% drop in deaths.
It's gone down.
So that's good.
3% less people died this 39-week period, the last one, which we're quite impressed with. But that was on their thing. It's a bit dour, isn't it, that day?
I'm assuming it's a COVID-related...
That's in every update they do. Stop. They talk about deaths. Now, what company is that? Anyone? On text? Anyone?
Yeah, that's
a cemetery,
the funeral directors.
Yeah. Oh, close. Yes.
Ooh, is it?
In fact, let the people guess. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, guess the person.
God, it's becoming thick and fast now.
Who of us?
is it really fast?
No, surprisingly fast.
Well, we've never had a contest.
I got a friend called Gavin, right, and he was a very fast runner. And we found this friend of mine, another guy, raced against Gavin and beat him easy. He said, I've always been fast. I should have encouraged me to run for, you know, county or whatever. I didn't want to do it because he probably didn't like it. And apparently, do you know why they're so fast? They got fast...
Twitch fibres.
That's a real thing. I didn't know what that meant. But Twitch fibres.
Aviva Insurance
Company.
It's
not Aviva, no. Good guess.
Simply Funerals.
Simply Funerals.
Funerals for you.
That's a bit, are you reading that? It's a bit black, isn't it? You know, a bit dark, that. You know, in fact, I suppose if you are into deaths, it is, you know, death. Why is
if
death?
If you are into deaths.
Yeah, well, some people are a bit gothy, aren't they, in death. No, it's DTY, so it's Dignity, I think. They are a funeral director. And they bought up lots
David H. says that, yeah.
Yeah, David H. He owns a stock.
So he knew that, yeah.
So right, I just looked at that. I said, can we push those deaths up, guys? Can we hire a serial killer or something? We need to get those deaths up. Come on.
Well, I mean,
you know, just sit around the boardroom table and say, listen, the thing is, our sales are tied to deaths.
Yeah. Probably when the pandemic broke, they were high-fiving around the board table.
Jeff, it's a pandemic. All right. Yes. Yes. Bonuses.
Back of the net.
Yeah. We're just sitting around in the quarterly meetings. How do we get the deaths up?
What can we do? Mm-hmm. Gotta kill more people.
Your grandmother's quite a bad driver, isn't she? Can't you just send her down a pressurized zone in Oxford Street or something?
Yeah. Cyanide in the tea.
You could take 100,000 people in that. Mm. Yeah. Let's get those deaths up, guys. Come on. Get out there. Let's kill some people. Yeah. Come on.
Take those masks off.
Yeah.
So were those deaths in, where was that? In the US?
No, it's UK.
UK. That was
yeah,
UK.
No, they were. The, I think the biggest funeral operator. They brought up loads of independents, you know. So,
well, so they bury or whatever.
Well, they arrange a funeral
for 500,000 people. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So it's in 39 weeks. That's in a year, isn't it? So they, that, yeah. that's the amount of people they've dealt with. That's yeah. that's their customers. That's the, do you know what we get? Do we get any negative feedback? yeah. They all seem pretty happy.
But equally, you don't get many
yeah,
reviews.
You don't get many popular reviews on the yeah. site. Yeah. Come on, guys, we're getting the reviews up. Yeah, yeah. Can you do us a favour? Give us a, before you die, give us a review. Mm. You know,
how many? How many deaths are there?
I wonder if you can schedule that.
Yeah, no, I remember, I did think about that. I saw on Instagram the other day saying, what happens to your email when you die? And I started worrying about it. There's loads of stuff and confidential stuff in your email. And after a while, the hangers say, you've got me worrying about my email when I die.
Do you know what?
I don't care when I'm dead.
Funny enough, you say that because Facebook have now, it might be a new feature, it might be old, I don't know, but I discovered it recently. So you can now have a friend take over your your Facebook if you die.
What if they start posting stupid stuff and some people don't know you died?
Yeah,
there's something wrong with Justin. He's posting really odd stuff. He's become a Nazi. Like, what's wrong with him? Justin was there like that.
I think you should nominate Pete as your
That'd be brilliant.
I think he would look after it sensibly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Good point, Steve.
Why is Justin badger baiting? he likes animals. Yeah. I don't understand
what's badger baiting?
Yeah. He's become really racist.
Baiting badgers. What's badger baiting?
I thought something completely different than that.
Okay. What did you think it was, Steve?
It's a combination of these. I know, tugging off about
nothing.
Okay, share the screen, Steve. We're nearly at the end. Now it's time. Now we've been going for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it? I guess the energy source. Which energy source created 38% of the UK's electricity for the grid yesterday? In fact, this morning. Which energy source, guys? Have a guess. Normally...
I'll guess today because of the storm. Wind.
Yes. So it was wind, yeah. So normally that, you know, fluctuates wildly. For you know, calm days, nothing, up to 38%. Gas is normally about 50% all the time, so it's constant. That's the issue we have, you see. We have to find alternative energy sources, not fuel-based, fossil fuel-based, because we got these variations. Solar and wind, of course, fluctuate very greatly.
I would have thought it would have been more than 38%.
Yeah, they probably didn't.
39.
It was very windy yesterday, wasn't
it? It was 38%.
My bin's on the other side of the garden.
Oh, yeah. GB Grid... generating 10.8 gigawatt.
No, not this again. No, yeah, okay. No.
1.1 gigawatt. You know what gigawatt is?
Okay.
Oh, and you live in, you're right, Jerry, but back where we are, it would take a lightning strike to generate 1.2 gigawatt. Yeah.
I love the fact that
you said lightning strike.
I love the fact that you know it's quite a good impression of Doc from Back to the Future. So you like doing it? You think it's quite good?
Well, listen, you know that's as all I get. I can't do impressions.
It's
right?
quite good.
But when I get towards being quite good at one, yeah.
Okay.
So there we are. The stats. A wind of if you want to see that. Is that pump storage? Pump storage.
Mm.
What's pump storage?
Oh, we love a pump storage.
What is that? Nuclear did 17%. So that's quite stable, and biomass. Anyway.
Can we power our houses with hydrogen?
Yes.
Is that a possible thing, is it?
Well, SGN, which is a gas network provided in Scotland, they've got this SG100 project starting. It's obviously happening at the moment. But by 2023, 100 houses will be powered by green hydrogen. Do you know what green hydrogen is?
I presume it's good stuff.
Yeah, it comes from wind or solar.
From a new renewable energy, not rather than fossil fuels.
Yeah. So they're doing that experiment, and in fact, there's a big traction.
So is that so the renewables when they create energy where it's not needed in like by homes, it then goes into hydrogen? Is that how?
Yeah, and they can store that. Then it can be stored. You know, so that's the trouble with storing a bit, isn't it? So where does it go? Where do you capture it?
Yeah.
Final thought. In fact, I got this. You know what? Jono, thanks to this. I saw this on the Shipbuilders Investment Club chat group, and this is from World of Engineering. Look at that. Just wait until conspiracy theorists discover they're part of a conspiracy to use conspiracy theories to spread disinformation via conspiracy theorists. That would mess them up, wouldn't it? Hang on, have we been used?
Wait a minute.
That's brilliant. But I did say I do a good tip at the end.
Right.
A good tip.
I've heard that.
Okay.
Sucks.
Do you know shaving blades?
Yeah.
They're quite expensive, aren't they?
Yes.
Do you find that shavers are quite expensive?
Yeah. Look.
They're very expensive, like 28 quid for like a pack of eight.
Okay.
Right? This is how to stop them getting blunt. Never store them in the bathroom, okay, because they get damp. and that makes them blunt. Secondly, get a Tupperware tub, mm-hmm. and those silica gel packs, put them in with that. Sucks the moisture out of them. They last forever.
Really?
They don't go blunt.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, they last a lot longer.
Have you tried that, or is that something you've read?
Yeah, I've tried it now. It's in my thing, yeah.
Okay. Well, you've tried it forever.
No, I'm trying for it. I last 2 months.
Oh, okay.
And they do last.
How long have you?
So
2 months.
I haven't got confirmed data, Steve, on it.
Okay. I look forward to that.
Like the Omicron virus. Go on.
Omicron. Yeah.
But I'm sure it does last longer because its dampness obviously bluntens the blades. Anyway, I've got a tip actually. On the 10th of December, I'll have a tip. A stock tip.
Oh, right.
It's not a tip. I don't do tips, but I mean, no, it's a new stock I bought.
Okay.
Are we going to attempt to talk to Paddy at the end?
Or yeah, go on then.
Well, no, he's probably watching in delay. So, Pad, if you go up to
your
room, I'll keep an eye on when you unmute yourself. And then
if you go up to your bedroom, just take your clothes off, and we'll be with you in a second.
While we're waiting for that, been a couple of people asking about Polarian because it's all gone a bit quiet there.
Yeah, I've emailed Richard. He's become very quiet in the emails, but he just said, the last email I had, he said, there's progress going on, it's slow progress because he's working with the FDA, and someone said, well, will he tell you when they've got an FDA meeting? I said, no, he won't tell me that. If there's any material news, that means news that's market sensitive, that may move the share price, then they have to inform via an RNS. He won't tell me anything like that. He just said in broad brushstrokes, vagueness, saying we're making slow progress. And he did liken them to the FDA. So they're going to be working with the FDA for a long time. So he said they've got to have a good relationship with them, you know, because lots of things going on there. So he said it's like having a family member that you don't really want for Thanksgiving come around. You have to be nice to them and stuff, but you've got to, because you realise if you're coming around your house, he told me, it's an email, it's like they'll be coming around your house for Thanksgiving for years to come. So you don't want to fall out with them, even though you don't see eye to eye. So he said they're making progress. But I assume what's material news on that? Is them having a date to meet the FDA material? I don't know if it is. Definitely probably having had a meeting is probably material news. And then have a timeline then. Maybe that will be the time. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know whether.
Yep. There was a couple of others asking about Gfinity as well. And one was asking Steve and Pete if you're adding, because it was about sort of 20% of our
portfolios. I'm very overexposed with Gfinity.
So. Overexposed, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not putting any more.
Just holding for now, absolutely. Anything to add from Gfinity?
Last year, like I said, it's all about valuations. I mean, right now it's cheaper than, you know, digital media peers. And they're in the esports space, which is fast. They're growing, of course. So in my mind, they're a good deal now, as long as they hit those targets. But they've got the stage now where, you know, even if they hit, like, their forecast do, I think, 9.4 million of revenue next year. But even if they hit 7.8, they'd still be, even if they hit 7.8, they'd still be, 7.8, they'd still be within peers, with 5 times sales. That's their peers. So even if they hit 7.8, but I'm not saying they won't. I'm saying I'm quite guaranteed, you know, John has said quite confident about hitting. They've got massive growth targets, you know? Yeah. Big ones, like 40% and 40%, double what I'd look for, 20%. So, you know, setting those targets is quite bold, but they obviously have confidence. They wouldn't just do that for... Why would you set a target 40% growth next year and the year after unless you're confident you achieve it? I don't believe that John's the kind of guy who exaggerates and lies. He's not like that. He's quite an honest, downplay guy, isn't he? You know, he plays on the down. So, I mean, you have to have a reasonable, you know, factual basis to, you know, to put that model on there and say we're going to achieve 40% and 40% next year. So I think it's realistic.
Yeah, with all these stocks that my portfolio and with everything that's going on, you just have to be patient and you just have to look and just look further into the future and hope that things change. So, yeah,
but,
you know,
but these are new businesses. Like, yeah, they've never been profitable. They've got a line of sight to profitability. You've got to give companies this, you know, a minimum from here 12 months, because now they're talking about EBITDA profitability, and probably 3 years to really get going, you know, because I mean, Gfinity will really get going, because once they've got that snowball starts rolling and they've got the money and monetization, the average value of the user going up and the amount of users, you know, at 100 million and the value of these at 40 pence, that's 40 million in revenue. It'll take a while to get that, to build that. But once they get there, it'll go. So where did it start here? There's a start of a business. A new business, you know. John took over in May 2020, pretty much CEO. They started that new business in that date, or just before that he started. But 18 months of GDM, and it's gone from 300 grand when it started to 2.6 million, which is now half the revenue. It's higher margin business and it's more scalable. So you just got to give it time. It's going to, you know, I believe John is going to make it work. You know, he's taken it from near bust company with no margin to to a good margin company where the revenues are now growing. So give it time, it'll get there. It's not expensive now on forecasted revenue. On last year's revenue, it was argued a little bit more expensive than peers. Now it's not. And yet the growth is superior there. Just give it time. It's a new business. You know, you can't be world class in like a year, a year and a half, you know. Anything else? It's Paddy.
Yeah, let's just stick your headphones on. Let's. I think he's disconnected from his main mic. I think he's on his laptop mic, but we'll give it a go. See if
Hi, guys. Just give it time.
Oh, there we go. Pad, hi.
Hello?
It sounds like Paddy, you're in a men's swimming changing room.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, are you swimming? Are you going swimming?
I'm in my kitchen. I'm just fitting these blinds.
All right. That's very echoey.
It is. Are you meeting us at Basingstoke today?
There's one hell of a delay here.
Okay, maybe we'll just ask a text. Not easy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Am I going to be allowed in?
I don't know. But let's ask people. Only three of us are allowed in the escape room, right? Paddy really does not want to go. Who would you like to see? Give us three names, please, on YouTube. Three names. Who would you like to see go in the escape room, please? Just three names. And no, in fact, there's one name. Who should not go in the escape room? Paddy doesn't really want to go in there. Yeah. He hates it. He's a very dour individual.
And who doesn't really care?
I quite fancy it personally.
Okay.
Steve would like to go.
Which probably means I'll get voted out.
I wouldn't mind going. Pete wouldn't mind going.
Yeah.
Paddy really doesn't want to go. Who should not go in the escape room?
Justin. Everyone's going to say Justin, surely.
That's it. Look at the results. I think that's it. We're signing off. And Pad, we'll see you later.
Right, bye-bye, Pad.
Bye-bye, Pad.
Right.
I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, click like to the video if you can, subscribe. Next video will be there. I'll be definitely releasing a video on the 10th of December about the new stock. So to get that to your inbox, subscribe and like. All right, lads. Everything all right?
Yeah, good.
Anything else on there?
There's a question for Pete. You mentioned the other day you hold Lloyds. I do too. The capital returns have slowed down. Any other large caps you're looking at? I recently went into Boohoo.
Oh, you asked me a question about Lloyds.
I did ask
you a question. This is a serious one.
It was just the full... Yeah, so to answer that question, no, I don't hold any other large caps. And for me, Lloyds is a bit of a legacy thing since 2009 or something. So I'll just continue to hold. I'm quite happy with them. But my point was yesterday, it dropped like 7%, which is...
Snowing!
Okay.
Sorry, go on. Snowing outside.
You're like a child. Snow.
Yeah, he's asking,
dog.
He's asking me a question about Lloyds in the economy. Snow. You don't get that on Newsnight.
Bird.
Go on then.
Yeah. I've lost my train of thought. No, my question was, I was surprised at it dropping like 7%. I mean, considering the size of Lloyds and all the rest of it, and I know there's the panic and all the rest of it, and it has risen quite a lot recently, so there's probably a lot of short-term trading, but you thought 7% for a company that size is pretty hefty, and it was a bit like, why was that a sell-off?
Well, it's about future earnings not being there anymore, because we've been rising in an inflationary environment now, so that when you get inflation, of course, to ratchet that back, to bring it back, you have to raise interest rates. Now, two factors, really. So Lloyds, a bit like that, you know, loans and stuff, they earn money on the difference in the margin between the base rate and the thing. So they get more, you know, more profit, basically, when their interest is higher because they can charge a bit more. And secondly, if this coronavirus does kick in, of course, and we have to have lockdowns, it'll slow the entire economy down.
Yep.
Banks are affected by that, of course, because there's people... It would take things. So in two respects, it's just... a lot of it was panic, you know, but there was the worry that there wouldn't be any more money on the interest rates and all that stuff, and then the economy is slowing down as well, a double whammy on Lloyds. So banks are very much, you know, a play on the economy. Yep. You know,
saying, capital returns have slowed down, but I suppose what I'm saying is... I just look at a longer term view. Interest rates, who knows? Yes, probably will go up.
I don't know if it will.
Well,
a little bit. I don't think too much, because central banks got a lot of debt. Companies got a lot of debt because it's based on cheap money. And so it's like if the central bank puts their, I think it's up by 1%, it's going to cost them $25 billion in payments, in interest payments alone. So, or was it 0.25%? A ridiculous amount. So they can't go up too much, and they can't stoke or stop growth getting back to normal levels pre-pandemic before it started. So I think they let the economies run a little bit hot and let inflation go a little bit. But also Bitcoin, that's why Bitcoin dropped a little bit, because people are saying, as inflation now, because of course there's less growth, there's less inflation. So if inflation is coming down, people see Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation. So hang back, if inflation is coming down, maybe it isn't a hedge. But also the dollar didn't come out. So, anyway.
The interesting thing with the interest rate, because obviously when we start of the pandemic, it went to record low interest rates to try and help things. Now there's not really anywhere they can go.
No.
So, you know,
who knows if you can't invest in an environment, if businesses can't invest in an environment with no interest rates, then they're not viable as a business, are they?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to be able to service a little bit of debt now and again to create money and all that stuff. Anyway, that's it for the podcast, the video live feed podcast. Like I said, thank you very much. Hit that like, subscribe button, subscribe. If you want the next video to your inbox, which could be actually, maybe, in fact, one of the next, maybe my new stock, which I'm quite excited about. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for tuning in. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.